Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Psalm 107, verse 28. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. The troubles and struggles that we face all around us from day to day can feel like we are in the middle of a tidal wave or a tornado. It can be overwhelming. Today, we are discussing how the physical trials that we go through bring us some of the greatest blessings. So join in the conversation as we seek to trust God in the midst of the storm. Well, Janie, we have some challenging conversation today as we talk about the storms of life and the trials and struggles that we go through and that we all face, and some interesting and exciting stories that you have for us.
Well, I don't know that it's that exciting of a story, but it was a unique memory for me because Bob and I decided that we were taking a little trip. And we were going to go back and look at the places where we had lived, where we had had our children, schools, houses we had lived in, just kind of a walk down memory lane. And as we were driving, dark storms started to gather. And it seemed like we were going to have to go into the direct path of the storm. And so we thought, well, should we delay our departure? And sometimes in life, if we see an approaching storm, we try to delay our going into that storm, maybe by trying to escape, maybe by trying to divert or get super busy, but the storm still approaches. And so as we went into the storm, I realized the first thing that hit me was a thought pattern of fear. And I knew that that had an emotional base. But the circumstances were pretty awesome. I was glad that I wasn't standing out where the grounding could have been me instead of being in a car. But as we came out on the other side of the storm and the clouds started to clear, the blackness went away, the blue started to return, there was such a sense of peace and praise, realizing that the Lord said that He was in the storm. And so since He had brought this storm on this day that was supposed to be so special and relaxing and tranquil and out for a drive, I said, Lord, what lessons do You want us to learn from going through this storm? And He pointed out to me that most of the time we think when a storm's coming, drop anchor and hold fast. And I would agree. But sometimes that can be a way of us just trying to avoid the storm that we are going to have to go through no matter what. And the first thing He pointed out to me is, I didn't send this storm for your harm. I didn't send this storm to hurt you. I sent this storm today to allow you that I'm with you in the storm. And where are you going to put your focus? Are you going to put it on getting away from the storm? Or are you going to do what I have told you in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 10:13, to where I'll walk through the storm with you so that you can endure. The second thing is that I couldn't see clearly in the storm. That rain was so intense that the obstacles that were just a few feet in front of us, you couldn't see because of the intensity. And that's where we, so many times, we lose our way because we think we have to see clearly in the storm, and we don't. That's where our double T's, where we don't try, but we just trust in the storm, knowing that He's orchestrating the events of the storm for our good.
So you're kind of taking the storm that you faced physically and kind of relating it back to the struggles and adversities that we go through in our Christian life.
Yes, and let's make that a principle number one today. Okay. Because every storm of life that has a temporal impact on us is there for a spiritual learning and increase. Remember, it's an eternal God that we serve. He has an eternal game plan. He's just not working for 50, 60, 70 years of this temporal life. I like the expression, and we've said it before, that our 50, 60, 70, maybe 80 years here is like a dot. And eternity then is like a line drawn. If you were to take that dot and you were to draw a line completely around your room, and in proportion, look at your life here as being a dot and look at eternity being the beginning of that line. And so we get out of balance with the focus in the storm to where we believe everything has to be fixed now.
Yeah. And after the storm, a lot of times, I know physically after a storm, everything always looks so green and luscious and, you know, beautiful. It just has a vibrant color.
I'm glad you said that, because there is a health lesson in that. And you know how I love to go to the
to the health
lessons. And that is, in the storm, and especially with the lightning and the rain, negative ions are produced. They're produced in the rain. They're produced when you're by the seaside. They're produced when you're by a great waterfall. And negative ions actually bring physical healing and a positive result to the body. Have you ever walked out after a good rainstorm and just wanted to take in a big, deep breath?
Yeah.
And it was refreshing and energizing
Yes.
and at the same time tranquilizing for you?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's God's graciousness ministering to you in the storm. So He means it for a blessing. And one of the main blessings we get out of this storm is that it is a protective measure to keep us back on the right path. In other words, the storms are really allowed, or sometimes divinely sent, because we're about to go off on a detour that He never designed for us to do, but we want to take it for some selfish or earthly reason. And so the storm comes to keep us back on the right path, or to keep us from steering off onto the wrong path.
So the adversity that we face in a storm situation really nourishes our character.
Yes. It will build our character, or it will confirm the natural character that we were born with that will amount to nothing when we see the Lord face to face.
You know, I also think it's training for future storms.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, when you have a tornado or a hurricane, earthquake, volcano, tsunami, I mean, there's all kinds of different storms, and each storm is handled in different ways, but they all require us to take action of some sort to get through it, right?
Absolutely, and yet each storm needs to take us back to Father God, the author of the storms, and if it doesn't take us back to Him. And then one great point that is so hard to learn in life because of how we are born and raised as young ones, and that is that all things work together for good, and the storms are actually one of the richest blessings that you can have. So I have to look upon a storm as a friend, not a foe. And sometimes that's very hard to do.
Yeah, it is. And especially, you know, all of those storms, even though we handle them all differently and they all require something of us, if you've never been through one of those storms, you don't know how to handle it. I remember as a kid, I used to be scared of thunder.
Mm.
And as I got older, you know, I understood that thunder couldn't really hurt me, and you just start learning as you go through that storm. You start learning, and you learn from others. You know, Dad would say, oh, it's okay, you know, thunder can't hurt you. Or he would go out and watch the weather and tell us, you know, when to get in the cellar and that sort of thing. And so as we learn from others, we learn how to handle the storm. And a lot of times when we start facing adversities that we have no idea how to handle, sometimes we throw our arms up in the air and we start flailing and we start screaming, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, and then next thing you know, we're struck by lightning, mm-hmm. or we're in the middle of a tornado and things are whirling all around us, and it hurts. You know, there's pain that comes with those storms, but we learn something in those adversities.
Well, I've got to give you a little funny here, and that is the way I got over thunder that used to scare me tremendously as a child. My aunt said, "Oh, Janie, don't worry about the thunder. That's just God bowling." Oh. And he made a strike. So I had a mind picture of God bowling and striking, and that was the way to overcome fear as a young child. But a second principle I think we can apply here today, Sharon, is when you see the storm coming, then we do need to seek safety. Yeah. And then we can go back and go back to the scriptures, because for every physical storm, there is a spiritual application and necessity for the storm. And when you stop and think about a tornado, Sharon, stop and think about how many lives lost all the possessions, right, but their lives were saved. And you think, oh, you know, how terrible. But then when we maybe look at it from heaven downward, say, how wonderful, because it allowed the people to break their obsessions and their bondage to the physical possessions that was keeping them from knowing their heavenly calling, knowing their position in Christ. And I find that even in the Christian community, it's very hard to see the eternal when you're passing through the temporal, especially if that loss or that storm involves grief. And one of the worst emotions of a storm is if the storm produces loneliness. If you've been around many people and family, and then all of a sudden it's taken away through death or divorce or some kind of loss.
So the storms that are devastating and can cause broken lives, broken relationships, or deep wounds, how do we get through those kinds of storms?
Well, I tell you what, I like Psalms 55 for some storm data, because one of the worst storms that we have, that once we go through the physical storm to learn the lessons, is really where David was talking about the storm of his family life. And in Psalms 55, verse 12, he's talking about the people that are after him and making his life miserable. And in verse 12, he says, "For it was not an enemy who reproached me, and then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and we walked to the house of God in the throne." And then he gave one solution down in verse 16. "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud. He shall hear my voice." And here's the beauty of the fruit of the storm. "He has redeemed my soul in peace." And how beautiful, because is that what all were seeking? And then the rest of that verse says, "From the battle that was against me." And how many relationship battles are people battling? Probably as many relationship battles as they are something in the physical, the loss of the finances or the weakening of the health. It is the conflict and the strife. But, Sharon, there is a hint of what to watch out for if you go down to, let's see, verse 21.
Okay.
Look at verse 21. And, let's just start in at let's back up to verse 19. All right. It's also good. "For there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them. Even he who abides from of old, because they do not change." Now, these are the ones that were against David. Mm-hmm. "Because why? They do not fear the Lord." So there is a time for fear, but the fear is not against the storm. The fear is against not acknowledging the author of the storm and the provisions that he has made.
Right.
Then he goes down to 21 and he says, the words of his mouth that was his enemy, that one that he thought had been a close brother and that they had had close counsel together, the words were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Now, Sharon, you talk about a situation for confusion, whether you're in the body of Christ or whether you're living in the natural of life. And that is, people say things to your face. People tell you words that they think you want to hear. People sometimes are under guilt, and so they will give soothing words to throw you off track about where their heart really is. And sometimes people use smooth words like honey or butter to manipulate you and entrap you in the fact that they are still carrying swords of war in their heart. And we fall for it because we so want to have peace, and we fall for the duplicity of words.
Well, verse 22 says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never allow the righteous to be moved."
And isn't it neat that right there that with he shows you where you can be deceived, that he then gives you the solution. He doesn't make you wait. Yeah. And then that same verse is over in the New Testament in 1 Peter 5:7, that we cast our burdens on the Lord. And that is a principle, that is a thought pattern. But that's also a habit practice. Right. If we learn to go to him and just unload the anxieties. And here's the neat thing. The Lord is so long-suffering that if we need to go give our complaints to him, if we need to go pour out our heart to him, he's not going to start to scrutinize our words. Like if I was to come unload on you and you had a really bad day, it might be that you would just want to say, "Janie, get a grip. You know, I'm dealing with so much right now. I don't really think I can handle what you want to unload on." The Lord, those thoughts never enter his mind. He is so anxious in a good anxious way. Only he can be anxious and have it righteous anxiety to where he's always willing to listen. And I find some of the best times that he's willing to listen and I can hear is maybe between 3 and 5 o'clock in the morning. It seems like the brain has had a chance to rest and you don't have a lot of clogging of what's coming up and you can really hear. So I find that that's a good time to meditate. And if you have the privilege of been sleeping a little bit later to regroup that sleep, fine. If you have to get up and take the kids to school and go to work, then ask him to just renew your strength. But that is a good time. And he set the example, Sharon. He got up early in the morning in the quiet to commune with his Father. Yeah. So he could face the crowds and the demonics that were screaming at him and the challenges during the day. But it was in the quietness of the night that he renewed himself with his Father.
The storms of life are going to come.
He's promised it. In this world, you'll have tribulation.
We will.
John 14 is a good chapter to read about that.
And James 1 says, "My brethren," James 1 verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing or lacking nothing."
Okay, now that is a hard, tall command.
Yeah.
If we look at joy, if we're in pain and all of a sudden somebody quotes to us, "Count it all joy," mm-hmm. You know, we would like to probably say something to them less than a spiritual response, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
All right. So
storms are not easy. Adversity is not easy.
Impossible. And to learn to count it all joy, I need to know, you need to know, we all need to know the scriptures on the purpose of trials. Because if they seem like they're being sent as an injustice, resentment, indignation towards God is going to be our natural response.
And I think it's important that we that we grab somebody in our life that we can trust to go through that trial with us, to help us through that trial. You know, just like learning how to handle a storm. You don't handle a tornado the same way you do a hurricane. You know, you evacuate with a hurricane. With a tornado, you hunker down.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's different ways that you handle situations.
Good
there's
point.
There's always something mm-hmm. that we need to do in a storm. But how we do it, what we do, those come with help from others, a mentor, a confidant, somebody that will pray with you, that will encourage you, that will lead you in scripture, that will be that person for you to help you through that storm. Because sometimes when we go through it alone, we're no different than a kid that's afraid of a thunderclap, and we take off running with our hands in the air and run straight into the lightning.
Yes.
You know, and get struck because we don't know how to handle the storm.
Well, and there are a verse comes to my mind as you say that, and that again, I can't quote you the reference right now, but it says that we have many acquaintances, but there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And to have the assurance and security that you could call somebody at 1 o'clock in the morning, there's mm-hmm. not a lot of people that yeah. would just willingly say, I'll be there in 10 minutes, or yeah. tell me what you need right now, or I'll call 911 and get things coordinated. And to have someone that sticks closer to you, and that you know that it's not going to be, oh boy, I've got to go help this person, but that it is, you wouldn't want to do anything less. And as you look at it from that perspective, then the joy, the quiet, I call joy, if you were to put an equal sign out to the side of it, mm-hmm. quiet contentment. There's just a quiet contentment to be willing to go forward with whatever may come your way, be it an imposition, be it a weak saint that is sometimes got to sit down and talk to you just about themselves, and you'll be there 30 minutes and they're still talking just about their own issues, and you can still sit there and have an attentive, true heart to listen.
Well, Janie, I think we're pretty close to running out of time for today, and I would like for you to close us with prayer. Being in a storm, you know, we can, if we're not in one right now, it's easy for us to talk about
we will have them. They'll come.
And if we're in a storm at this very moment, sometimes we cannot see. The rain has fallen down so hard that we cannot see two steps in front of us.
That's right.
And so will you just lead us in a word of prayer to help us move forward even when we can't see?
Yes. And so, Father, we do come to you, and we're thanking and praising you that we have storms in life because they have eternal value. We acknowledge, Father, in our own weakness that we don't like the storms, but we do see the necessity. And we thank you for being the provider and the provision in every facet of life that we walk through, unknowing when there is harm, when there is lack of safety. And Father, we want to know you so that when the storms do come, we are confident to put our trust in you and to allow that trust to be a guiding light for us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that will also walk with us, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we thank you, Father God, for the love of your seeing that we don't get off on some detour that could bring our destruction. So thank you for being there, Father, and may you help us learn how to see you in every storm of life by being in the Word of God and understanding your mindset, and then being in agreement with your mindset. We thank you, we praise you, we trust you, and we love you. In your Son's blessed name, amen.
Amen. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye. Until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, SHARIN, Hearts, HEARTS.org.